And somebody had posted Kendrick Lamar top 25 albums. And
I saw that. DJ Quick was his first.
Yeah, he got three DJ Quick albums on there. Number one was DJ Quick first album. Yep. And then he had Rhythmalism, which I used to dig that album a lot. I thought that was a slept on joint. And I forget what the other one was. But And I seen Javon was like, I don't see how people got Doggy Style over the Chronic. And I'm like, it really just depends on which day you catch me, really.
Yeah.
It really do. Like, both of them are just works of art, man. Just masterful work, man. Yeah, it just depends.
Yeah, Doggy Style, I mean, if Chronic is the birth of it. You know what I'm saying? Doggy Style, what you get. You know what I'm saying? After you birthed it and you done perfected.
Right.
And you perfected the birth. It was hard. Like I said, I had to listen to both of them the same day.
Both of them just bangers, bro. Like, that's why, I guess, coming up in that era of hip hop, that's why, like, I'm an album guy. Because in our day, you had to make a choice. You know, when you went to the store, you had, you know, $20, $30, you had to pick. You had no streaming service where you could just listen to any and everything. You had to go in there and say, well, man, I hope this worth my $10, you know. Yeah, you'd be like, bro, and then when you hit, you like, oh hell yeah, dog, this that one, boy. And then you had to play this shit to death, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, you couldn't just go in there. That's what sucks now is like some of these people be actually having good projects and shit, man. But you get so flooded that you'll forget that you had liked the project. You'd be like, oh yeah, I forgot that this one was fire. The only thing that been really holding me down this year, project I keep coming back to, is Killer Mike. That Michael album, yeah. I've been on that one heavy. I play that probably at least every 3 days.
Yeah, Mike got the joint.
Mike
from that era where he know it's about an hour, man.
Right. Yeah, you create a feeling. You create a whole vibe, not just a flash. You know, a flash is cool.
That's the difference between like the eras. You know what I'm saying? Just look at the eras from even going back to the 80s, you know, the early 80s, you know, the era was singles. It was singles, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Once NWA got to the point where they created a whole album, that's when, outside of, you know what I'm saying, the New York, because New York always had their own criteria. But once NWA created a whole album, and everybody was like, oh, we got to create an album. And the mainstream and albums was like important, very important. The early 2000s, albums was important. It wasn't until they kind of changed it to like, okay, it's the party scene, so everybody make a party crunk song to hit the club.
Mm-hmm.
That's important now. It got to be a single, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. And them cats couldn't make albums. Some cats, they give you a joint. But yeah, you'll go to the album, you're like, oh, no, this ain't it. Yeah. Only person I think used to do good, like, energy party albums was Lil Jon.
Yeah, I mean, but Lil Jon, he's a DJ, so he gives you what he's playing in the club. Okay, this is what I'm finna
right.
play. Every song I'm finna play gonna be something you could be crunk to.
Right.
It's basically what DJ Khaled doing, you know what I'm saying? I'm just giving you an album that you can play on the radio.
Yeah, that's gonna get, it's gonna, everything in here, I play in the club.
Yeah.
Everything on there. Just like the different sound there is like how you ended up with, you know, in this era, people don't really do albums like that. Only person I think of the new era, the cats I like the most, Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick. Those guys concentrate on creating a whole album, not just a single, a quick little flyby buzz or whatever. They want to create a feeling so that when you put this album on, you're ready to really just get into the groove and the vibe of that entire album.
Yeah.
But the problem with music is it's such a vehicle now. Like, you come up with that hit, You make so much more money now than those guys did back then. That's what these kids want. They just looking to get, bro. They like, bro, if I get a song, bro, I could be set for life.
Yeah, they can give a damn about an album.
Well, like Lil Pump, I don't know his pockets, but hell, he just sold his mansion. I think he bought it for like four. Yeah, and he sold it for like $7-8 million, something like that. You know what I mean? That's come up, bro. I don't care how broke he might have been. He just put $4 more million in his pocket. And all he had was a song.
And I don't even know what song he got. Like,
yeah. He had a little Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. That's him.
I never knew who that was, man.
Yeah, he Miami. You know, little Cuban. Little Cuban kid. Miami. Yeah. No. Young Miami, yeah. But yeah, you know, that was, and that's the thing. Nowadays, bro, you can really hit a lick, like for real, for real. Back then, we thought you was hitting a lick, but you wasn't doing nothing, bro. If you was a one-hit wonder back in our day, you gonna make a couple of hundred thousand, you gonna blow that real fast, and then they gonna throw you to the side.
You the opener act.
Yeah. How you got all that going now?
You the opener act for dudes who bringing out albums. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Like, look at what's the girl Sexy Red? Like, she got the little song. Like, she wouldn't even be played back, you know what I'm saying, in that era. Like, it would be like, okay, where the rest of the music at? Well, she ain't got it.
She's straight for life off that one song.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they don't even, look at Cardi B, bro. Cardi B is the biggest act, right, arguably, right, in hip-hop. One of them, right, top five at least, as far as big. Cardi dropped one album, bro. And all she done since that album is throw you a single here and there and get on the feature. That's it. She ain't dropped albums since then, bro. Why? Because she getting money so many different ways that this music money ain't shit to talk about.
Yeah, it ain't.
The music just is like, for her at this point, is like a passion project, like a hobby. Like, oh, okay, I'm a, you know what? This would be fire. I'm going to do this song. Or, you know, the new young chicks out there, they reach out. All right, I'm going to help her out. I'm going to get on her joint. Yeah, like the Sexy Red, same thing with the Ice Spice chick. All of them, they just hit you like with a joint, like with a single, catch a little fire. Then they may drop like a little EP, maybe like with six songs on it.
Yeah, maybe.
Just to kind of keep it burning a little bit. Yeah.
Like, you don't gotta have time for 10 albums that got like 16, 17 songs.
Yeah, no, it's EP. Only people doing like complete albums, full 16 albums, like, I mean, songs, are the ones who really rap, like, you know what I'm saying? And even then, the market is oversaturated where most of the consumers aren't paying attention to those albums. They're like, man, shoot, I'm not listening. I'm not finna sit through and listen to a 16-song album.
Songs, right.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga like, boy, let me see which one sound good. And I'm going to put that in my playlist. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even listen to the whole.
You know what's crazy, too, though? I noticed, like, even some of these newer acts, they'll have 16 songs, bro, but that shit still be 32 minutes because they done cut the songs down so short. Yeah, every song, like, 2 minutes. I was checking out, what's my man? Doughboy. Doughboy actually dropped some pretty good music, but his albums be short. He'll put an album out, but it's still only 35 minutes. He actually, yeah. Oh, really? That cat, yeah, yeah. He got some shit. He got some shit.
The dudes who, you know, I mess with Griselda, Griselda artists, and they not giving you 15 songs. They give you 10, 11. You know what I'm saying? But what they doing is they give you albums. The only difference with them is they're not song makers. They could make an album, but they're not song makers. It's kind of like the way 50 Cent explained it about the game. He's like, man, you know, the game could probably out-rap anybody, you know what I'm saying? But the game can't make a song, which is why
yeah.
Wrote all the hooks and the songs for the game on his first album. He's like, what's it? He's just sitting there rapping, but he ain't made a song.
Right.
So why 50 say, oh, nah, let me write this for you. This is how we do the game.
Right.
50 had to put that shit on.
And then I think he learned from him, though. Because he ain't got a mean catalog, but yeah, I think he came in raw like that because he just could bar you to death. Like, Game is a great rapper.
Great, one of the greatest. But even to the thing he said too, he like, yeah, they have to put, people in the room around him to create songs, because he just he's not that. He's not the song creator. He just in the beat and he can just start writing.
He just gonna go crazy.
But then it's like, okay, well, damn, song ain't got no hook.
Yeah, we gotta give something people to repeat, man. You know what I'm saying? They can bow their head and, you know, this is how we do. You know what I mean? Yeah, but bro got a mean pin game though. It's funny how it be like that. There's a lot of people like that, because that's why I always judge the greats by their ability to create albums, not just rap. I'm like, well, if you just come down to rapping, bro, it's a lot of cats out there that can rap their ass off. But do they make music that I'm going to sit down and listen to? I'm like, I'm not listening to this shit. Shit trash. These terrible ass beats, or, you know what I'm saying? The song structure's crazy. I don't listen to this shit. The best can make songs that go off and like catch and poppy and whatnot, but they still got bars in it. As much as people tease, like, even Joe Budden about Pump It Up actually got bars in it. It was just a catchy ass song. But, you know, that's how like a Jay-Z continue to have the respect of both worlds. And like, that's why Nas kind of didn't for a while. I mean, he seemed like he had a great resurgence, but yeah, well, Nas was like the guy that, oh, he can rap, but he don't really make songs that, you know, ain't nobody ever playing this nowhere in no club or even really riding around, really.
Yeah, he borrowing the songs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He got a horrible beat selection. But at the same time, you know, Nas was one of those who didn't want to work with a lot of other producers. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z was open to work with whoever. If the shit sounded good, bring it. You know, and then, you know, see, Jay-Z was backed by a bit, you know, the big boys, you know what I'm saying? So they was only bringing in the big boys.
He was, you know, and Jay always had that business mind. It was always business as well. Like, I'm ill on this mic, but believe you me, I'm coming to get the bread. Know that. All this other shit cool.
Yeah, I mean, look, once he made that perfect business decision to make that song and bring UGK, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is how I'm finna make the most money, because I'm a nigga from New York, and I'm finna put a group from the South that everybody in the South loves. So not everybody in the South is going to love me because I put a group from the South on.
Right. And you talking UGK, Underground Kings. They don't have them major, like, you know, splashy singles. So you was really, it was such a great look from Jay at that time, because UGK didn't have any mainstream hits. They had probably some regional hits. They did. What year was that? That was volume 3, so that was
98,
99. Right a bit, yeah, about 99, I want to say. Let me see, I'm going to look it up real quick. But yeah, up until this point, yeah, they had no, it was just, we knew about them. You know, again, they was the Underground Kings, like, that was in the name. If you just fuck with rap like that, you going to know who they are, because they was making so much noise coming out of Texas. And the sound they had was so funky, man. And you had Pimp C on the boards.
Yeah, on the boards.
Man, putting that blues and that southern, like, syrup on it, man, where it just had that drawl and that. It just felt like when Pimp C was on the board, bro, it's almost like it felt hot and sticky. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's the South right there, man. And you hear it all in his vocals, man, and in the production. Yeah, it was something different, man.
Yeah, that's like, just thinking back to the early 90s, you know, so outside of OutKast, outside of OutKast and maybe, I don't want to even say Ghetto Boys, I would just say maybe Faith.
Maybe,
or you could throw in Ghetto Boys, because nobody really, like, outside of the South, really was playing the South music. You know what I'm saying? The South music wasn't getting played at all.
Right. Yeah, it was all in your backyard.
People were like, oh, man, Florida, Miami music, booty shaking, all they doing is playing booty shaking. The niggas in Texas, or that slow down music, nobody wanted to hear that crap. Atlanta, it took for Atlanta, you know, Outkast to do what they did. And then they would say, oh, no, okay, so they could kind of rap, all right. You know what I'm saying? And then they were like, oh, coach, they coming back with Ghetto Boy. I mean, Goody Mob. Uh-oh, okay, so, yeah, they got some niggas who do put some words, some lyrics to beats tonight. It ain't just...
Because Atlanta had the same kind of scene as far as, like, yeah, they was just looked at booty shape, really, too, honest with you. You know, Miami and Atlanta was, you know, pioneers of the bass sound. Miami piggybacked off of that a little bit shortly thereafter. Volume 3 was 99. It was almost 2000. It was December 28, 1999. So, really, that pretty much 2000. It was the very, very last Tuesday of that year, I'm sure. Back then, albums used to come out on Tuesdays and shit, man. That's crazy.
And then, so
funny, just Tuesdays at first.
It was Tuesdays. The funny story about that song, too, you know, Pimp ain't want to get on that song with Jay.
Yeah. I remember him saying that.
Story, like, literally, like, a couple months ago.
And it was about Pac. That was the craziest shit.
Pimp was like, man, you know, I ride with Pac, man. That's his dude. He like, man, I ain't getting on no song with that nigga. Yeah.
Didn't he record the video at his house? His part of the video?
Yeah.
I think he did, yep. He had Gloria Velez in that joint, though, so he had the hardest part. Our nigga Pimp had the belly out, titties hanging out with the mink on, you know what I'm saying? And Gloria Velez, oh my God, Gloria Velez was like the one. See, that's what I miss too, boy. We had the video Vixen era, man. You had Melissa Ford, Vita Guerrera, you know what I'm saying? Gloria was like top dog.
She was top dog for a while. Before that, really, wasn't nobody putting those Spanish women in videos like that. Like, boy, got a Spanish mommy in there.
And you couldn't deny her though, because she 5'8", 5'9", and she's tall. You know, she's tall, drink of water, bro. And this motherfucker was fine, cuz them motherfuckers stepping through them heels on. And you like, holy shit, what was the first? Holla. I say, you know, you first see a video, you like, yo, who that is? You record videos back then, we used to record that bitch on VCR, man. Yo, like, yeah, run her back, bro.
Run home from school to catch that BET special. You record the little top 10 right there.
Hey, I remember the first time I seen Amber Rose in the video. I said, what the? Who is that bald-headed bitch? That bitch fine as a motherfucker. She was in the video with Ludacris and Chris Brown. I forget the song, but I remember that. I was like, hell no. Who is this beautiful, blonde, bald bitch? This bitch crazy. Yeah, man, that used to be an era. By then, that was kind of fading off, so Amber didn't. Amber probably wouldn't been. She wasn't the vixen that she would have been, because that era was kind of fading off. Yeah, and then Ye snatched up. So luckily, she ain't had to. You know, she ain't had to suffer through falling off. And yeah, man, we had them all. We had Buffy the Body.
Oh,
oh my God! See, Buffy was early, so back then we thought Buffy was authentic. We ain't know she don't want them people and got cut up on. Cause what happened so regular then? Yeah, what happened in like then at that time, bro? So you ain't know.
My first time seeing Buffy, dog. I kid you not, I seen her on the video, and I was like, "What the fuck?" So I instantly found a picture of her. And I went and put that shit on the shirt, dog. I kid you no lie. I put it on the shirt. Niggas, girl, they would stare at my shirt like stare.
They was like, what the fuck is that?
What is that?
That's Lady Buffy. They like, God damn, she got her ass.
Bro, that shit was sick. Oh man. You know what's funny though? I heard on the Joe Budden podcast, Melissa Ford was talking about they had somebody threw something for like the video vixens, like an event, and it had like you know, iconic outfits and all this shit that the chicks wore. I was like, bro, that shit got to blow up, and I want to pull up on that. That should be like a little museum or something. Like the Trap Museum. I'm definitely down to go to the Video Vixen Museum, bro, and just be like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot she was in that. And I think the first time Melissa might have been, I think it was Knock Yourself Out with Jadakiss. I think. Hell, the first time I remember her. But yeah, Melissa had him in a chokehold.
Oh yeah, Melissa was the one. She was the one. She was in
all. She 45. You know what the thing is now I feel like I can get her. She's still fine as hell, though. Melissa look fine as shit, boy. She holding that 45 together very well, boy.
I think she ended up getting married or something.
No, she ain't never been married, huh? She on the Button Podcast. And she ain't never got married, never had no kids. Nah. She just doing her little thing. She like a permanent member on the Button Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, she's still fine.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, man, shit, let's talk a little football, man.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 degrees. The one and only Miami Hurricanes Barbershop Talk for you football fanatics like us. We do it for the hood. We do it for the culture. We're so happy to have you back here with us, man. As usual, it's your main man, one-fifth of the crew, your boy Larry. We running a three-man give-and-go. You know what I'm saying? You got to know how, if y'all ever play basketball, I know Measy coach and shit, you got to know how to work the weave now. You work it perfectly. The ball never got to touch the ground. You know what I'm saying? If you work it perfectly. Let's go. Let's go, man. My boy Measy here. What's up, Measy?
What it do? What it do, man? 26 degrees, man. Beautiful Sunday. It feels good to be 1-0. Football's here, man. We got Real Field General X in the building, man. What's happening?
What's good? What's good, man? We back 1 week on the field. We back, man. Came at a pretty good performance outing of Friday, So we got something to look forward to, man. We I think it's a lot of pressure that we got on us, though.
Yep.
It ain't on us, you know what I'm saying?
Well, let's, we had a week of football, right? So let's get into just a little bit of the first week of football. I know people like us, bro, this is what we live for, man. We can't wait. You know, last week we had Notre Dame, Navy, which was some, I was hoping Navy might make it interesting for a little bit, but they never did. I was just hoping, because I didn't expect it, but I was like, hey, maybe Navy give us a little something to tune in for, but they didn't. That shit, so we can really kind of erase that game.
Anybody playing Notre Dame, I want them to beat that team.
Like, yeah, facts.
Not one ounce of breath in my body. Love nothing. I hate them.
I can't stand them.
Yeah, it's so funny, and I guess it's certain shit I just can't do, bro. Like as a black man, hell, my girl white. I still can't, I can't play for no fighting Irish, bro. No running rebels, bro. I can't do no shit like that. Seriously, I'm like, nah. I can't be no Nittany Lion, bro. Look at this shit. Look at the stadium, cuz. I'm not, nah. I ain't that goddamn. I can't do it, bro. That's just how I am. Like, I don't know. I always tell people, if I ever had the opportunity, it was just USC or Miami for me. If I was ever that kind of a player, that was it. I wouldn't even consider no other schools. USC, Miami, period. Otherwise, I miss me with that shit. I'm not going to y'all country-ass town. These motherfuckers don't like me. They wouldn't fuck with me if I wasn't running this rock.
Right. If you weren't running that rock, they don't care nothing about you.
And yeah.
People will be like, oh, well, what makes you think you don't care about you? I say, but, Miami is a different.
Yeah, I was about to say, it don't even have to be you. I'm talking the city. I'm talking about just being in a culture where I'm not like some blaring spot. Like, I've been to some of these SEC cities. Like, I've been to Athens. There ain't no shot at Athens. There ain't no black people there. That's just what it is. I've been there. Like, if you not on that football team, bro, it's not black people there. And I'm never going to be that comfortable, bro. I'm like, I always kicked it with white folks and shit, but I got to have some black people around me somewhere, cuz. That's just me. But let's do a quick just recap of some of the interesting games this week. Obviously, You had, you know, Coach Prime got that first W. A lot of Miami and, oddly Miami, but whatever. And Florida State fans, you know, they hopped on that dick. Gross. Y'all need to stop. Listen, am I happy for Prime? Absolutely, man. I want to see the man do well. But y'all old, they better than us. And what are you talking about? They gave up 42 points. 42!
That trash.
Yeah, like, what are we talking about? That's what y'all want? Y'all want to win games 45-42? That's your dream?
That's their excitement. They want to go through four quarters of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
No. No, thank you. No, thank you at all.
I don't
know
what it was, too.
That's all it was. It was terrible defense.
Yeah.
It was terrible defense. Shout out to Travis Hunter. Showing why he was the number one player in the country. Guy was out there playing an enormous amount of snaps. Way too many, honestly.
He had like over
120
snaps, I think.
Yeah, that's just, it's not healthy. And I love that he, you know, he's like, oh, I wasn't even tired. It's like, yeah, Trav, but you got to look at your prospects, your future life. You're a young man, of course, you know, you can handle a lot of that load, but that's just not how you want to run things, ultimately. But shout out to Shador. Shador went out there, did his thing, 500 yards.
Four
touchdowns, no picks. He just ran the offense well. You know, he put the ball where it needed to be. He threw it every level. Good player, you know. And that's the one thing I didn't like. Some people try to make it like a total HBCU narrative, like that's all he had. He had other offers. He had Division I offers, and they weren't all scrub offers either. So it was four stars out call. Yeah, so I was like, let's not do that. Let's not make it like, oh, y'all trying to act like HBCU ain't got no talent. No, what Deion did is bring four stars to HBCUs. So these were guys that already were considered talented players, but he convinced them to come to play HBCU ball with him, and then he convinced them to transfer to Colorado with him. So, but good job over there, man. Shout out to them. Any other games y'all want to kind of quickly highlight? Or
the other game that I watched, I was paying close attention. But I watched the Texas A&M game, obviously, because we played them. And then I watched the South Carolina versus North Carolina.
Hey, Rattler got sacked. I watched that game. Rattler got sacked 9 times.
He was running every time they said, it was like they offensive line didn't block at all. Like, literally.
Yeah, that was bad. That was like one of the worst O-line performances I think I might have ever seen.
They didn't give him not a chance.
Yeah, you get sacked 9 times. Imagine how many times you really got hit that game.
Right, yeah. That's bad. That's like when we had Zion out there for game one against the Gators, man. You know. Yeah, that's an ugly sight, man. Pray for Spencer Rattler, man. Pray for him, man.
And then, like I say, look, watching that Carolina game, because, you know, we played them. So I'm looking at games.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, you know, teams we play in the future. Mays is good, but he can be stopped. You know what I'm saying? I guess, you know, they give these quarterbacks so much hype and frost before they actually play these full seasons. Like, okay, they had one good season. Can they do it again?
I think he had 2 picks last night, too.
He had two interceptions. He's good, but the thing is, well, you could rattle his chain. You could rattle it.
Well, look, think about this. I'm glad you brought that up. We did good against him last year. We did fine against May. Even when we got our ass whooped in the past, was not all credit due. They was running it crazy on us, so it wasn't really no need to. But it was a little short dude named Sam. How they never got off on us? Now all praise due to the running game. He didn't have to. You know what I mean? He didn't have to. And he just compassed and not had it all, but we did a good job against Maine, man. We just didn't finish, we didn't do what it took to go ahead and take care of the kid and put him away. But how did A&M look though? I didn't get a chance to peep that game.
They did what they're supposed to do. They played a team that they were superior to in every aspect of the football game. And they just
Evan Stewart elite because they beat him again this year.
They got they look they okay. So they recruited the best. They recruited the top class 1 year and top five each other years. It looked like they had way better talent than the team they played. That's all. It was
nothing. Who did they play?
New Mexico State.
Okay.
It was nothing special. The one thing I did see a weakness in their game was the offensive line when it came to trying to run the ball. They didn't look good trying to run the ball at all.
Okay. All right. Something we got to try to take advantage of this upcoming week. You got any of them easy?
Utah Florida game. Take off what? What was that?
Friday? Oh, man. Thursday, yeah.
Y'all saw that. Shackling that. Boys beat up on lizards.
When Utah first played the game, went 75 yards, I was in here, but I about lost my boys.
I know, right? Hey.
Utah was down 8 starters, too. Quarterback wasn't playing all that. Still dominated. They was down. They had a tight NFL tight end down. I think 2-3 offensive starting linemen down. Still out there.
And the first and second quarterback, right?
Yeah, first and second string. Yeah. They was on third and fourth string, and they was doing that.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now. Here, lizard. Yo, y'all gonna have a long season, just like we said. Y'all swear was hating. And I'm like, bro, I ain't got hate. I'm just telling you, I don't think you're gonna have a great season. You know, they kind of y'all talk about Graham Mertz stats a little bit. I still wasn't impressed by watching the game. I watched them play. Yeah, the stats looked okay at the end of the game. It was a lot of get off of that cat.
44 times, you're
going to
get some damn
yards. A lot of those yards was coming because they was getting their ass whooped. They had to throw the ball. They had to throw it, right.
Because they couldn't run it. And that's what I was about to get to. That was the whole thing. Remember, their whole season was really supposed to be predicated around the offensive line and the running game. And I saw a poor offensive line. I thought that O-line looked terrible.
I think I sat like 5-6 times.
And they were just destroying the line of scrimmage and getting those running backs. Running backs, they had a chance. But in the fourth quarter, they were averaging less than a yard a carry. That was the stat. It was like 0.9 yards a carry at that point.
We're like, what, 13
yards? 7 carries.
They ended up with like 13 total rushing yards for the whole game.
Yeah.
That ain't going to get it. That's not going to get it. So, you know, Utah is going to be well coached. So you're going to see another tough Utah team come out there and play some good football. I think you mentioned Ohio State too, Measy.
Yeah, they look bad. They're going to struggle with that quarterback situation this year. They just don't have it. Indiana is trash. But I noticed, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. only had like 3 catches, 29 yards. That's how bad the quarterback play going to be for them this year. So I watched
that. Yeah. I kind of heard the word on that one.
Yeah, I think he had like 10 points at halftime, something like that. I watched some of the Virginia Tennessee game. I didn't leave the house yesterday. I pretty much watched every game.
I watched a good bit, but I was tired yesterday. I got some good sleep in yesterday too, boy.
Man, I had like 4 games on at one time. My tablet, my laptop, the TV. Ain't nothing I ain't see yesterday.
I turned the Tennessee game off after the second drive.
I turned that off early. I was like, all right, Tennessee.
Oh yeah, they smoked them boys. And they smoked them boys boots. Let me see one more game. Let's see. I watched Texas and Rice, which was actually a good game, man. Rice had good defense. Shout out to Gabe Taylor. He was out there trying to do his thing out there, man. Little Sean T.
Three and a half quarters of that game.
Yeah, yep. Texas will be pretty solid, I think, again this year. Pretty solid. I ain't saying they're gonna go crazy. I'm not gonna say they're gonna. Yeah, I mean early, I would go with that. Yeah, I think they should have been able to do a little bit more on offense. But again, it's week one, so it's you gotta see about ironing out some of the wrinkles. I know again, some people swear.
They got
people swear.
It's time.
Oh yeah. I mean, but the thing is like coaches is going. They gonna stick to the script on week one against Rice. Like, bro, we not pulling out no shit, bro. Y'all gonna have to just beat them. Like, that's just how we gonna do it. Very similar to what we did.
Successfully. We know we better y'all. We ain't gonna do that special. If this shit don't work,
We got a long year. Exactly.
Go out there and just be better than you. Let's just manhandle you. Our players are physically more athletic and better. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm not changing this script for shit. Y'all better go out there and beat them. I don't give a damn how tight it get. Same seven plays. Execute. Move the dude in front of you. I don't want to hear shit.
So let's get into that, man. How do you guys feel about the win? Like, because I'm getting a lot of craziness from fan base. Even when we did our show the other day, one of the dudes was going, I guess he's not impressed. He feel like it, like, I'm like, okay, but we won 38-3. I don't know if you guys are still stuck in the 20-year mode that we've been since, but I was happy as hell we won 38-3 because we got to go out there and show them and dominate from point A to point Z.
And that's what we did.
And that's what we did. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. I said, okay, yeah, we didn't score 80 points. Oh, man, we finna have a bad season.
That's what people, I think, are comparing everything to. They look around college football, these teams putting up 65, 70, this and that. We went 5-7 last year. And like you said, we just need to go out, show we can dominate, run the same. On offense, it felt like we ran, like, what, seven plays, run them same seven plays, dominant, don't give up anything egregious, any points. I don't have any problem with it. Especially after last season, there was just stuff we needed to see that we saw and go on and play next week. Like, we don't ain't no point of sitting there trying to put up 55 just to make people happy, in my opinion.
No, I mean, I agree. I thought there was no point in that game where there was a fear of losing the game.
At all.
We dominated physically. I thought everything that you could have wanted to see improvement in general, we got to see. And you got to remember, you're playing an old team, too. So when you're playing a lot of these teams like a Miami of Ohio, you'll be playing a lot of 22-year-olds. You're not going to be playing as many 18-year-olds. They're going to put some grown men out there, guys that already got their first kid and a little house, you know, their first starter house. So, impossible MAC champions. So you're looking at a team that'll probably have a pretty good year and go on and compete in their division. So, you know, I was very happy with the overall. You know, you look around the country and similar opponents kind of did similar things. Michigan, I want to say they won their game in the same type fashion. I forget who they played.
38-10, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You know,
listen. When the game get
over. Yeah. This is it. Yeah, this is just getting hit, making some contact, hitting somebody, and just trying to control every aspect of the game. I guess we'll get into that's just my general synopsis. We can look at it on let's go, I guess, on every phase. So let's go to the offensive side of the ball and kind of get into a bit of a dive as to what we saw. I guess we'll start up front, man, with the big boys up front, offensive line.
I wanted to see a little more push and some more holes, to be honest, on the O-line. I like the pass blocking and everything, but I know it's going to be a process. We got a true freshman on the line and stuff like that. But the line didn't play bad, but I did, not to be picky, but I did want to see us block, get some better run blocking.
Yeah.
Man, I seen some excellent holes. Like, I seen some holes that I ain't seen since 30 years ago, maybe. O-line look good to me, man. O-line look good, and Cam McCormick, the old man of the group, tight end.
Yeah, he was leaning on people out there.
He's 31, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's about to retire. He's about to retire, so that makes sense. I want you a little bit, though, Meezy. I thought I would like to see a few more Like, all tackle creases opened up. That would be probably my biggest concern. Not, I wouldn't even say concern. It'd be critique because I still like the way they played. I'm very happy with the play in general. You know, we had a few early hiccups, which, again, is to be expected somewhat with you have a young line, and it's game one. So, you know, you had a Nez Cooper with a few hiccups early. And a Nez started at what? Right guard, right?
I'm at right guard.
Yeah. So a few false starts for him. Maui Noah, which apparently I done heard enough people say it now, I'm going to go with Noah. Maui Noah, I heard David Lakeman saying it for weeks now, but he's the only person I heard saying it.
I could have said
Maui Goa, though. Man, all right, I'm going to have to get the pronunciation guy. I should be at the game next week, so by next week, I'll get the guy, and he'll be on there. So, you know, a couple of hiccups there. I think Andy Lee ended up with one, which was funny because he forgot the snap count. So he the only one didn't move on that one play. That was hilarious.
Well, I didn't even get mad about that. I don't like his first game with a new team, new quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, we nitpicking, but all in all, I don't think. Means you still got the stats.
Yep.
Did Tyler suffer a sack in that game?
I think Tyler had, hold on, I got it right here.
Yeah, I don't think he got sacked.
I don't think he got sacked neither.
Nah, that was Emory. Emory got sacked.
Emory took a sack, okay.
Emory took a sack.
So Tyler kept his jersey clean. Awesome. So obviously, no complaints there. And just in general, I thought the O-line looked cohesive. I thought Rivers looked better than he did in the spring. So it looks like he's continued to elevate his game. No complaints. I mean, if I had to give the O-line a grade, I'd give him a B+.
Yeah.
I thought all in all, just a good effort. There were some big holes. You know, they took, you know, y'all seen that screenshot going everywhere where everybody's getting pushed way off the ball. And I was like, hell yeah. So happy about that. Happy about that for sure. I guess let's drop back. Next level quarterback. TBD.
I'll give TBD, if I had a grade. I'll just go up to the units. I'll give a grade. But I'll give TBD a B. I was going to say C+, but I don't want to do it. But I'll give him a B-.
Yeah.
I really didn't like that pick, to be honest. I ain't like the pick.
I didn't like the pick either. I thought it was a bad pass.
Yeah.
It's a bad pass, but it was also a damn good play by the defense because he left his player. He left the man.
Yeah, but just the way he jumped the route. He threw the ball up. Like, it took that ball like 15 seconds to get where it was going.
But Meezy, okay, so no excuse. It's a bad pass. But remember, if the guy who intercepted the ball, if he's still following his man, that guy catches that pass and he gets the first down.
Yeah, I agree.
The defensive player made a good pass. Now, the reason why I say it's a bad pass is because TBD should have led it more to the end zone instead of.
Yeah.
That's why I got intercepted because he threw it towards the sideline.
And I thought I hadn't had a chance to actually rewatch the game just yet. Normally, I already had by the time we do this. I thought I loved Restrepo on that play. Going the opposite way, opposite side of the field. I was like, oh man, you missed him. I could have swore that's how I felt on that particular play. But all in all, he executed the offense that I think we wanted to for that night. We wanted to throw the ball around a little bit, get his arm loose, get him comfortable. You know, we found out about the thumb, which was negative. It's just, you know, controlling the swelling. So I think they want to get him out there, throw around, see how the hand responded. So yeah, I would go with like a B2. I think he, you know, we ran a pretty simple offense. Leaned on the tunnel screen a good little bit. Worked fairly well for us. Got our first opening drive touchdown, and I don't remember. That's something we've forgotten in the generals now. I don't remember the last time We came out and got a touchdown to open the game, man. And I even tweeted out, I was like, bro, I can shed a tear. Like, just I'm like, that's what it's supposed to look like, man. Just can we for once not go out there and have to punt the rock, man? So that was fun. That was nice to see that happen. And then we had we skipped Jakari and went to Emery late in the game.
He was only 3 for 3, but he still looked sharp. Didn't look like he was out of place. Knows where he wants to go with the ball. This and that. Small sample size, but I mean, true freshman. He did what he was supposed to do in the game when he got in. That's what he did.
Yeah, I liked him. I agree with you. I thought he looked sharp, looked comfortable. I see what people like about him. It gives me hope that if Jakari isn't the guy next year, assuming TBD moves on to the next level, I think I'll feel comfortable going in with Emery next year if that would be the case. I guess they decide to preserve Jakari and get Emery some live time snaps. I'm assuming must have been a strategy, but yeah, I like the zip he had on the ball, the placement, and just in general looking confidence. He took a sack, which I don't know. What's your opinion on the sack? Was it a held it a little too long type situation? Or
remember that sack?
I think it was a good cover. Good cover sack. You know, they covered the play pretty good. He tried to maneuver and get out of the situation. You know, he's a good scout. I won't blame them for the sack. I'm not going to blame the offensive line again. It's a cover sack.
Yeah, cover sack. It's going to happen. So that was dope just to see him get out there, see some of the hype that we've been hearing from around Green Tree, you know, how guys have been early on, been impressed with him. I think we got just a glimpse, obviously, not a full sample size, a glimpse of, oh, okay, I see some of what they see now as well, which is comforting because if it does have to be him, early on I feel better that, hell, especially if we print him in and he gets to preserve his red shirt as well, then he'll be a red shirt freshman if he had to be the starter. So that would give us a little time to secure another quarterback, assuming this class doesn't, you know, we got, assuming we don't get better at this class, which I doubt we do. I'm sure we're going to go with Judd, and that'll be our QB. Judd's a developmental guy, not a star. So, if Emery is pretty good, that buys us a little more time. So, all right, let's go back one more spot. Running backs.
I'm happy about it.
I got the stats. So, Henry Parrish had 9 attempts, 90 yards, a touchdown. Fletcher, 9 attempts, 76 yards, a touchdown. What is it, AJ Allen, 9 carries, 47 yards. Chaney, 8 carries, 38 yards. So, like X said, running back.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Great balance, man.
Nobody got more than 10 carries, so everybody was fresh.
Yeah, that's super balanced, man. That's being really on top of your shit. Like, really keep the track and...
I think Chaney got in, though, until, like, the 4th, I believe, though.
No, Chaney was in the game.
Yeah, I got a little bit earlier. He did. Yeah.
The second quarter, Chaney was in there. I mean,
yeah, he got a little action early up. He did. Okay.
Give him a ball, but yeah, he got in. No, the thing, like I keep telling people, it's not about, look, at that position, man, if you are a smart man, it's about preserving those guys for the full season. We know Parrish ain't played a full season yet. We know Chaney ain't played a full season. So if you're able to preserve those guys early on, and you know you can rely on those guys when they're available, and give everybody carries. You know what I'm saying? Because game 10, 11, and 12 might be, okay, well, this is the turning point of the season. This is when you win 10 games or get to a great bowl or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't got no players available, guess what?
Right.
You expect team you need to go out there and throw 50 passes again.
Right.
Yeah, great balance, though, man. Of course, everybody was happy for Mark Fletcher, too. Everybody real high on him. I think he had like what, 26 yard touchdown run.
I was jumping when Mark got the ball.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, I think Mark. I don't know. Mark must have invited the whole Brown County. Or something. Loving
that. That was fire. Were you in the game this week?
Yeah.
You would have been there.
Started on the field, and once the lightning came, I went upstairs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can say about the running backs other than great balance, great talent. I liked everybody. AJ Allen, he played early. We got to see what we heard about him. Yeah, I like his elusiveness. His elusiveness and balance. I don't like his number. It's just, what was it, 29 or something like that? 28? 28, yeah, I don't know. It don't look right, yeah. He looked like a single-digit guy, but I get it. You muted X.
That's why I keep trying to tell people, he kind of reminds me of Clint Porter. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I can see that.
They don't got that breakaway game speed, but they got just enough to, you know what I'm saying, give you a 20, 30-yard run easy.
Yeah.
Running backs, it's kind of like a Dawson question too. I noticed none of the running backs had any catches. Y'all think that's going to be a big part of the offense? Running backs
they want to get the ball to the running backs out the backfield. You know what I'm saying? Again, it just was not necessary to do
it. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Yeah,
everything else was working. You know what I'm saying? So we're like, oh, we don't really. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, and this is why I can tell his running back like maybe because even if you say you didn't notice that Chaney was in the game on some of those pass boxes. But I remember they blitzed one time and Chaney picked it up and Buzz Bunny on his ass, and I was like, that's why Chaney did not think he the best one, because Chaney gonna put you on your ass when you come in there.
I've been ringing the bell for Chaney for years, man. You know, he just, like I say, he remind me of Gore. He just reminded me of Frank Gore, just that great all-around guy. If we can get the best out of him, a healthy Chaney, can do a little bit of everything really well. I'm very happy with that unit, man. Not zero complaints. Excited. Excited would be the word I'll use, man, about that unit, about that room. I think we got a stable. I think we got a stable of backs. I think, you know, people talk about, Mario running the ball. Bro, listen, four running backs, 8, 8, 9, and 9, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
If we averaging 250 yards rushing a game, I'm loving it.
Hell yeah. Oh, we busting head, man. We definitely busting head. Because that gives you so much control, bro. And then you allow, TVD to do his thing through the air. So we'll go outside to the wide receivers.
Young, George, and Scuffle, those are the three guys that I keep telling everybody. Those are going to be the guys that TVD would like. And the coaching staff trusts the most as of now. Obviously, they're going to get a picture of putting the players in hand, but watch the game. Kobe Young is that guy. He's that guy. He started to show everybody 6'5" frame. Where if I catch the ball, they ain't tackling. You know what I'm saying? He started to do that. You know, Steffo is a reliable source. Oh, I can get the ball to him without trouble. George, he can get the ball and make some plays, get some yards after catch. Then, once you go into depth, you got Rashard, Ray, those guys get open. They didn't show much. But you know they can get open. And then that's when you start saying, okay, who's gonna come in afterwards? You know what I'm saying? You got Harold.
After those first five?
Yeah, after those first five. Then you got Harold, you got Horton. Horton was out there, I don't think he got targeted.
He got targeted.
Yeah, he got targeted, his ass was blocking. He had the wrong play, Jack. That joke was downfield blocking. He threw the ball. What the hell going on? I think that was TDD first incompletion.
Yeah. So I was actually on the phone with you know, I was on the phone with Lil King Good Squad, and we were talking, and I basically explained to him. I said, I think Isaiah Horton needs to see a therapist, because he just got so mentally, emotionally abused by the receiver coach last year that he still got fucked up. He got to see somebody.
Yeah, that joke was out there. He was my only
down on that route too.
Yeah, he let like this little dude knock him down. I'm like, bro, if you're gonna,
I'm like, you like got smacked low key.
Yeah, but it's because he was being soft on that play. I'm like, sell it. If you're gonna sell it, sell it. But right, you went super soft on it and was like, hey, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, damn, that shit was soft. Yeah. It was. And I like the kid's potential.
Yeah.
Age might be on to something, man. Like, may need a little help just kind of getting past some of the mental abuse he may have put up with last year. Which was tough because he's a freshman, he's a kid. You know, this is a new level. I think they tried to get him out there and help build his confidence, but he just kept looking lost to me. In his limited opportunities, I think he just didn't look like he knew what was going on. So, he was a guy that I was a little disappointed in his output. I'm hoping he can put some things together and have not only a better season but a better career. You know, four-star kid we snatched out of Tennessee, man. You'd like to see him, you know, become something, especially if Kobe Young has a great year, you know.
Yes.
But if Kobe Young has a great year, who's to say what he might decide to do?
You the next man up right there.
Right. That's what. Yeah. So I want to see him kind of grow into that role and be comfortable being that other outside threat. Harold, we didn't get to see a lot of, and I think that was by design. He's going to be a deep threat guy that we going, you know. You'll see him in next week. I promise you that. We're going to take some shots to Harold for sure. And we're going to burn somebody. It's going to be on the timing. He going to kill somebody. Now, we just got to hit. We got to have the timing right, and the blocking got to be right. And that's a touchdown. That's six. We just got to get the play. Just got to come together appropriately. I'm going to book that now. Again, saying them. But.
We ran 61 offensive plays. 61. And that's basically almost 20 plays less than what we ran last year. I think somebody said, no, that's basically almost 11 or 12 plays less than last year. They said we run 62, I mean 72 and a half plays less. So we ran.
And then we ran it what? We ran it 16 plus 18, yeah, 34 times.
34, 36, something like that.
One and two, somewhere up in there. So,
the ball 25 times. Yeah, okay, right. So that's what we ran. That's we ran it 34 times, and we threw the ball 25 times.
Okay. So, yeah, balanced, a very balanced attack that, you know, just allowed both sides of the offense to get a little rhythm, get a little something going, and keep their defense on the heels a little bit, not exactly knowing what we were gonna bring to them. The wide receiver corps in general, though, I thought did well. I don't recall a drop from those guys. I don't think we did.
We only had five incompletions.
Five incompletions, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know. Ball was taken care of well as far as when the opportunities were there. Tight ends.
Only one tight end created this. It was Riley Williams. I love the route that he ran. He caught the ball. I'm very
made
high.
Made a man miss.
I'm real high with him. I think he's
NFL.
He's our Jeremy. He's our Jeremy Chucky type. Big, big, physical, fast, catch the block. He definitely gonna have a great future. The other tight end that stood out, I mean, obviously, Dr. Wild, old man. The real general. Out there, man. He was out there looking like an officer lineman, just beating on people.
Yeah.
For real, yeah.
Man, that was something good. Another thing that I noticed also, I think the other day, that they ended up putting Matthew McCoy.
And, yeah, I was just about to say that.
You know what I'm saying? With a tight end with number 81 and 86 come in as a blocking tight end. And, you know, my first instinct when I seen it, I was like, well, where the fuck 81 come from? I never seen that goddamn big head tight end like that before. Okay, that's Matthew McCoy, then that's Sarah. I see what you're trying to do, but hurry up.
Oh, had them big boys out there. God. Who was it? It was McCoy and who?
And Samson.
Ah, Samson. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Gave them boys some tight end numbers and let them line up, man. We played that jumbo rock.
Yeah.
What
guy
was that?
Oh.
I don't know.
I know they used it a couple of times, though. A
couple of times. Remember Matthew McCoy got the false start on one play. And that's why I was like, why the fuck they got this sorry ass? I didn't know it was him. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, them boys with some different jerseys on out there getting physical. I like it. I like the jumbo sets, man. I'm I always tell it. I'm gonna stay on it. I'm an old school guy. I like running the rock, man. I like bully ball sometimes. You just push people down and just go right by them.
Not to go back to the old line, but on that Mark Fletcher score, you guys notice big 773 pulling on that play.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Coop was out there. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he was out there. He's a big mauler, man. He enjoyed it. Big boy. You know, shout out to Cooper, man. He played well in his first year. This was a good find out of Alabama for us. He was a 3-star kid we found over there. Yeah, late addition. Needed some reshaping of the body, but he did it. Like, I gotta give him so much credit. I think they say he was close to 400 pounds when he first got there.
He was.
And now he's all the way down, I want to say, to like 330-ish. So,
he started at 350, so he probably did get down like 340.
Yeah.
Man, that's still good.
Yeah, that's just a lot of.
At that size, that boy moving too.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, the season's going to shed a few more pounds off of him just from playing. So, he'll probably end up playing most of the season at around 330-ish. But yeah, good athletic ability at a guy that big, man. That boy can move, man. You definitely. I remember seeing that on that play, going, "Woo! Look at big man out there on the center, man. I like that, man."
I know Fletcher was looking like, "Oh boy, then he opened up the red sea for me, man."
Yeah, and then you get like a safety. Oh, you just eyes, just, yeah. He's like, "Oh man, you got to deal with me, not big dog."
He's like, "Yeah, we gonna let you run right by us."
Yeah, I ain't lying. You finna hurt me.
I like that scream. Nah, I ain't trying to get that.
I got a career to think about. So yeah, good tight end play, limited use. You know, we did a lot of just, hey, let's bully. We didn't get into a lot of passing packages. I don't even think Skinner saw the field. Maybe if he did, it was late with Emory, maybe. So you know, all in all, good performance by the offense. Balanced attack. Efficient attack, and we scored. You know, for the most part, when we needed to. All right, flip side of the ball. You got defense at D line.
Hey man, I know Guidry. Hey man, we might have something right there, boy. Them lineups I was seeing. I think we ran like a 46 front two at one point. I said, "What the heck, boy?"
Oh, you gonna have fun with it.
Yeah, man.
He gonna have fun with it, bro.
Everybody moving around. I like how the whole defense. I know we just got a position unit, but I like how the whole defense was communicating too.
Man, like, I love it. Because you got Miami, and he was just heavy. He was like, "Boy, I never get to coach Tyler like this." I play us around and not lose any depth. Oh man, this is amazing. Look, man, I see the smile on those guys' face on defense. Man, they like, man, they love it. They great all out. Friday, D-line, we'll start with that group, man. That D-line, man. they was putting great pressure. Standing the damn offensive line up, not even giving them the opportunity to get to the second level.
I got to the second level one time in that game, to be honest.
No, man, the D-line was shutting that shit up. Man, it's the same. And that's why I keep telling people, like, yeah, okay, it's a team from Ohio, but the D-line played, they dominated. Well, they wouldn't allow those guys to get to the second level. So, that allowed the linebackers to play good. You know what I'm saying? Allowed the defensive backs to play good. They ain't got to make 40 tackles per game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That D-line looked good. That goddamn freshman Ruben Payne, man, he's something. I don't even want to call him a freshman.
I told y'all, man, put me down for my 8, man. He almost got that one with Harvey. Yeah, it was close.
He should have had another sack.
I thought he almost got that half. Yeah. But we'll step back just a little bit. The defense as a whole, I thought just was excellent.
We haven't seen that in a while here.
A dominating performance. And here's the thing. This is why I know you said earlier, X, like about the PTSD, is y'all can't make up your minds, bro. What do you want? This was supposed to be vanilla. And we dominated in a vanilla performance. That's what this game was supposed to be. That's exactly what I want to see in this game. I didn't want to see us spread it out and toss it around. No, bro, like, against this team? Come on, man. We supposed to just line up and push something back. So the defense, I thought, delivered, man, in a major way. What was they? Two? You got that stat up, me? I think it was like 2-for-11 on third.
All right, third down, they were 2-for-12.
2-for-12, right. So even worse.
Fourth down, yeah.
Man, that was one of our Achilles heels for years. That's been a big problem for us. That has been a – so we played good shutdown on thirds, which is – that's key to any success on defense, bro. You got to get teams off that field on third or it's going to be a long night and a long season. What were their total yards?
215.
Total?
Yeah, they had 164 passing yards and 51 rushing yards.
Come on, somebody. Come on, man. What is there to be upset about?
75 yards came on that last drive that they
215. I wasn't even joking when I said total.
It was already like 240, so 250. 240 something, and then they got that, like I said, that last 75 yards came on that last drive when we had third string game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said 215, so that means it was really more like 150. Yeah, it was more like 150 yards. Like, I don't know where you could find a complaint on the defensive side of the ball. Getting back to the D-line, I thought we created pressure all night long. Great play calling by Guidry. I thought that the run game was dead. Remember, and that was one of our big concerns coming in. Run game was completely dead. Nothing happened. They just shut everything down. And that's credit to so much of the good play we saw on the D-line. I don't even know. The only thing I was disappointed in the D-line was I mentioned in the instant reaction, I did kind of want to see, have Leonard Taylor have a bit of a coming out party to the nation. I want to see him maybe create a few more plays. But, he got that technical because he kept talking about it. Leonard was like, man, he holding the shit out of me. And that's how he ended up,
flag.
Yeah, that's how he flagged him.
I know he was frustrated, man, because when he came off the sideline, they ran his face on. I was like, oh, I can see it on his face.
Pissed off.
Get him out of the game, coach. Like, he's going to do one of those, have one of those. Fuck it, I'm just going to do some shit that.
Yeah, just run through the line and hit the quarterback. Ain't no way nil on snap.
Hey, you get the snap counts of the players, right?
Yeah, I think I heard.
I heard that the I don't know how true this is, but I saw on Twitter that no D lineman had over, I think, like 14 or 16 snaps.
Yeah, no. The only, no. I think most was like 19. Hold on, I got it right here.
Yeah, I mean that's a testament to the depth we have there.
Right.
So Najee Lee Kelly had 21. Najee Lee Kelly had
21. Okay. And he's young, and you know, he play in, you want to get him out there.
Najee Lee had 21. Fezzedo had 19.
Okay. I like that.
Then they had 15, and they had to take property. So they go crazy. So then Dean had 18. You know, the most snaps on defense was James Williams, 42.
Okay. Right. He's safety, so the most that makes sense.
The most snaps on offense was the starting line. They all had 61, which was how many plays you ran on offense?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, 65. It took them out for a little bit.
So, yeah, again, preserve. You know, preserve those guys.
Yeah, I don't even know if you had a standout on the D line. I did see Kelly make some plays. Dean is all the disruptor that they said he was, which I anticipated. He'll come in from the Big Ten, you know, even out of Purdue. If you can be disruptive in the Big Ten, they specialize in them big, you know, country motherfuckers out there, them big boys out there crawling up the lines. That's what they do out there in the Big Ten. If you can do it there, you can do it anywhere in the country. He's just a smaller guy. As far as defensive linemen go, I think they got him at like 6'2". But, you know, he came in, earned the respect of his teammates and coaches, and got him a starting spot. And you see why now. You got to see why. Again, Bain flashed. Saw a little Cyrus Moss action out there. I don't even know. I think they might have lined him up at linebacker, though. I don't remember.
It was they lined him up at
Jack. Okay.
Which is why everybody going crazy, because they were like, oh, why they still dropping D-lines? I'm like, no, he lined up as a linebacker. They lined up as a goddamn people. He's standing up. Like, he's supposed to.
Yeah. So, I guess, yeah, let's fall back to the next position, linebackers. Very pleased with the linebacker core. Cloyd got the start alongside Mount Noah.
He looked good, actually. He looked good.
Yeah.
The D-line did such a good job that the linebackers had no choice but to look good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I appreciate you right. The D-line did such a good job. It allowed the linebackers to play fast and free. And I thought that, you know, Cloyd, especially in the first half, flashed at getting in the position and making the play very quickly. And that's, again, testament to the D-line, but also testament to his athletic ability and his awareness to get to where he need to be. And hey, let's shut this play down. I saw more out of that in Mali Noah in the second half. Bassane made some plays. And then who else played? Flag, I think, got a few snaps too.
Washington came in. He was just trying to knock somebody's head off.
I want to say too, in regards to the defense in general, something that we saw, and it kind of incorporates D line and the linebackers. I love the twist up front, twist and stunts. I think made it very difficult for the offense to understand where the pressure was coming from. Go back to something easy said too, some different formations that just was throwing them off as far as identifying who's who and where they going on each play. So that kind of testament to actually both units, but I really like what Guidry did there as well.
Bobby Washington had a tackle and was credited for half a sack as well.
P. Washington, man. Oh, man. If he could just continue to develop, he could be a special one, man. He might be the most special linebacker we've had in Miami in
a long time.
Long time. I ain't even talking about no disrespect to Quarterman and Pinckney, guys I liked. But I'm talking about
real hardcore Miami UM linebackers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Old school, you know. So Miami was kind of one of the originators of the fast linebacker. You know, one of these, they weren't necessarily the biggest guys. He was the guys that could just move and lay your ass out. He reminded me of a throwback of that. So, you know, you looked at like schools like Penn State and all that. They had the more bigger, lumbering, old school, eat up the run type linebackers. You know, Miami was kind of one of the first schools that had these guys that could just blaze sideline to sideline where, you know, we would go out and play a spread team. We still ran a 4-3 because the linebackers were so fast that we weren't worried about their ability to keep up with the slots. So I think Washington with his speed, as long as he continues to just stay disciplined, could end up being a throwback to that type of Miami linebacker. So that's exciting. I'm glad he got his opportunity to get out there and get a few snaps as well and secure a sack. And anything else on linebackers before we move on?
That's about it, man. Just solid A plus, I feel, in my opinion. A plus for the linebacker
group. All right. Safeties.
They didn't have much work to do tonight or Friday night, you know what I mean? So
James and Cam's played good. Markeith, he did his thing. Jaden Davis, he's out. He's active sometimes. He's out of position, you know, but he's active. You can see he's really out there trying. You know what I'm saying?
He led us in tackle.
He's active, though. Safety group, like you say, they didn't have to do much because it was like everything was in front of them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Last year, Cam and Zane basically led the team in tackle. So it was like,
right.
Yeah, we don't.
And I hate that.
let's preserve them, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Let a linebacker lead this shit. You know what I'm saying?
So. Yeah. Well, which is great. And, you know, that's why I noticed when, you know, you said James played 40. I'm like, yeah, because he got to just hang back most of the night. He ain't had to get too dirty or get involved in too many scrums. He had to get down there too much, man. We was taking care of business on the front end. So, really ain't much to say on safety in this game. You know, I guess they took advantage of the opportunity they had. Just wasn't a lot of them. Thank God. That's a testament to a defense that's humming. That's your safety just back there chilling, man. I ain't got nothing more to say about the safeties, honestly, outside of that, man. Corners. Now, who started? That was the other thing. That was so funny. He posted the starters and, you know, people got all, hey, that ain't right. I was like, bro, it's just a list of starters, number one. and starter can be literally one play. And then the next play, that guy might be pulled.
Right.
So who did end up starting? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Brown, the older Brown.
Bronte Brown and Jaden Davis.
Yeah.
Oklahoma transfer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He played some nickel as well.
Yeah.
Davis did. Couch looked good in nickel. I like the little zero on Couch, man. Couch looks physically good. I do remember seeing him make a play or two. Again, I mean, you give credit. You want to give credit to everybody because it does take an entire unit. But I do think the job that the front seven did allowed the corners to have a fairly easy night as well.
Hey, who's number 21? They had a nice pass deflection on like a little deep ball towards the sideline.
Sure,
21. Was it 21 or was it 22? I think if it was 22, it was Jaden Davis, right? I could have sworn it said 21. Hold on, let me try to find that play again.
Yeah, hold on. Let me go get my
I might be just. I could have just sworn it said 21.
But I know we saw a good rotation, I want to say, too, of corners. You had Porter out there as well.
It was 22, my fault. That's Jaden Davis. That was my fault.
22. It was Jaden Davis? Okay. Jaden Davis on the pass deflection. Oh, you're telling me he took like a diving one?
Yeah, and then, the younger Damari Brown, that's number 6, right?
Yeah,
he gave up a little 30-yarder, but besides that, we didn't give up anything.
Yeah, and again, freshmen getting them out there. Right. They're confident in his ability. They want to give him some of these early game opportunities, especially against the Miami, Ohio. You probably see a little less of him next week unless we take a commanding lead. You know, I didn't get to see, but I heard the A&M offense look a hell of a lot better than it did last year. You know,
they was going first. They was playing the Mexico State, so they better look
better. Who did they play?
Mexico, so like they better look better than they did.
Shit, I mean, well, when they say better, and I don't know, that's because I didn't watch the game. I'm like, wait, so y'all telling me Petrino's fingerprints is more on it, or did it just look better with what's his name, Jimbo's old offense?
It actually looks like a mixture of both. I think Petrino's passing routes, but you still see the blocking concept that Jimbo's in front. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. And I would say that was my biggest critique of Jimbo's offense is his passing routes suck. It was trash. It just the concepts were. It just wasn't enough confusion. It was like, bro, you just.
Even yesterday, it wasn't like the passing routes was that much better. It just they had superior athletes better than the other team. They was running go routes the whole game mostly.
Well, that's been his problem. So yeah, I like that if that's what we get in this week coming.
Evan Stewart. I said this earlier, but Evan Stewart gonna be a problem for them too, though. That wide receiver. I think he had 2 touchdowns yesterday, but he was good as a true freshman last year.
Five stars,
especially.
To do that against that team, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now we see what he does this week again. Larion just said something so important. The defensive line played so damn good for Miami that our secondary didn't have to do much. Like, man, they got to come to us because the line getting to them.
Yeah, so we, you know, like our secondary in general, yeah, just didn't get a ton of opportunities to look good or bad. They will definitely be tested more this week because A&M is going to always be, you know, pretty solid up front. They're going to be pretty big bodied up in the front. Pause. Wow. That sounds crazy. but the trenches for those guys will usually be, you know, you're going to be looking at big time 4-star, 5-star guys, very large frame individuals. You know, like obviously we lost Shamar Stewart. That was a big L. To lose a guy like that. But think about you got 4 of those guys now. You know, if you fight 4 of Shamar Stewart's, you talk about some big time, you know, physicality up front. What was your question?
Hey, X, did Shamar start for
Yeah,
he started. Oh, yeah, he started last year, I want to say, didn't he? Was he playing him?
Started last year.
Yeah, he had him. Oh, he liked that.
He started day one.
Yeah, he liked that. Yeah. Boy liked that.
They called it, they put a flag on him because he did grab the face mask. But what happened was, they, you know, people don't know how good the athletics Shamar is. Shamar basically stopped. Play was coming back. He stopped and he ran the dude down. He stopped him from back to him. Like, yeah, I told y'all that motherfucker good. Now, don't just think he's just a big nothing. Good.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, wrapping that game up, took care of business. Good start. Nothing spectacular.
Special teams was good, hey.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir. God, I can't. Because, see, that's how I know things going well. When you forget special teams, things is going great. When you got to keep talking about it, like, God damn, I can't stand
more. Rashad Smith set it off with the kick return on the first
play. Yes.
Man, he got it. He got it to open space. And instead of him running out of bounds, man, he said, man, you finna feel this. Bam!
He hit the kicker, though. I like, stop it! I was like, damn, leg him, damn, leg him. I was
screaming. You in my way. Run out of bounds, man. Make me seem like I'm soft. Man, you got to tackle me. So he made, wow, he gave him all. He got to feel this.
Yeah, no doubt.
It didn't look that bad neither, because I remember X, you said it's going to be issues. We got to point too much. But he didn't look too bad. I was watching that during the game.
He was bad. I mean, I'm glad we didn't have to rely on him. I think he was averaging, what, like 40-something per point?
Yeah, and he's a freshman, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's a freshman. I know he came over. I can't even tell you what grade. Hold on.
I'm about to say, I think technically he would be a freshman, I believe. Even if he's older, I think. Another Australian punter. So, that's going to be the wave, I think. We're going to keep going to Australia, Jack.
Yeah, leave it.
He's a freshman.
What was the stats on that, Mizzy?
2 punts, 83 yards. So, he averaged 41 a punt.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Any day of the week. Borgalis was perfect on the day.
Three.
Yeah, hit his extra points. No smoke there. Another. I knew things was good because I didn't get one knot in my stomach when we was lining up for kicks. I was like, yeah, we good. Normally, my stomach just sink when I see a kicker line. I was like, oh.
Yeah, pretty dependable.
That's what you want. I watched the Penn State Virginia game for a while. I got pissed off because West Virginia, I'm sorry. Because West Virginia has some opportunities, and I was like, man, y'all got to go ahead and bury them, but they ain't take care of business. But they kicker kept missing. He kept missing the same little shot. Easy lineup. He just kept pushing it right. So, yeah, thank God, you know. Thank God for kickers when they doing their job, man. Amen to that.
That shit will lose your game.
Yeah, easy. I mean, you look at what we had. Remember we had terrible punting and kicking?
It cost us like 3 games that year.
Easily. Games that we competed in, but it's like, bro, we constantly fighting our own team.
Both field goals and shit.
Bruh, a punter that kicking 17 yards. Like, man.
Yeah.
And he come from a Miami punting legend. Like, how you a Feely and can't punt, bro? That was the craziest shit.
Terrible. Oh my God.
And then after him, you had the old shaky leg come out there. Damn, what's cuz name?
The kicker.
Oh, Bubba.
Bubba
backs up. Oh man. That poor kid, boy. He was never the same after that Snapchat, man.
Transferred to a school in Texas, and I just happened. It was like first game of the season. That next game, I was like, "Oh, that's Bubba Baxter missing."
Houston. It was Houston because we had got we got De'Aaron King and Jared Williams from Houston. And everybody's like, "Good trade." Okay. Get this kicker the hell out of here, man. Yeah. And then we got Mr. Beatem and then joined him, man. Then we got the first Borgalis. He beat us first. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to go Kane with them boys. Nah.
Yeah.
He wanted to kick
the
ball. Yeah, and then he stayed in the league.
Yeah, he went to the league. I know the Bucks got him for signing, but he never made it, though, which was crazy to me. Cause I was like, that boy had a fucking leg.
I thought he was with y'all.
He was, but we cut him. He didn't even make it.
And then I thought y'all brought him back.
And
they had him on the practice squad.
But he didn't make it, though. I thought he was going to play in the NFL for a long time.
I think he just got picked up by somebody. I don't know if he's on the team.
I'm about to look it up real quick while we're talking. But I guess real quick, what are y'all, you know, predictions for next week? Home game. Oh, yeah, this week, I guess, yeah. But, yeah, technically, yeah, it'll be Saturday.
We're kicking, man. We
bust some
ass, man. We
hit it,
bust it, talk shit.
Yeah, Sirski. I like it. It's a 3:30 game, yep. 3:30 game.
I
know. I'm like, yeah, way to go, Larry. It's an orange out, too. So, if y'all swing it through, put your orange on. I guess I'm going to wear my Nesta Silvera. You know what I'm saying?
If y'all guys want to order them shirts, it hit me or Larion, and I can order the shirts and get them pressed up, and I'll bring them out. We can bring them out to the game tomorrow.
Absolutely. We can hand them off to you. I will be at that game. I still ain't decided if I'm going in or if I'm just going to hang out tailgate. I hadn't quite made a decision on that yet. Probably going to end up pulling on up in there. But yeah, definitely hit either one of us up. We'll be out there and we'll organize to actually hand the shirt off to you if you'd like to pick up one of those 26 degrees shirts. Or X also has the Canesville shirts as well. So either one of those options. Just let us know what's up and, you know, hand that all to you at the game, man. You have an opportunity to, you know, rock some dope swag, support your team. Early on, man, early returns, without getting to see Texas A&M, I just like what I saw all in all from that team. We hung in with them last year, and I thought we had a poor team all in all. I think the roster flip is going to help us quite a bit. That O-line, I think, you know, again, played good. A few little simple mistakes, nothing major. Expect a hold or two again because, I mean, you know, we're going to face Shamar Stewart. We're going to face some big guys up front. So, it's going to be some holes. It's going to be smart holes, you know, and if they get flagged, they get flagged. You're going to rather that than TBD getting, you know, getting beat up. But I don't think they're going to dominate us up front. I think we'll give them a good fight in the trenches. And, you know, hopefully, we can continue. I almost expect a Harold coming out party in a sense. Think he's going to be a little bit of a secret weapon in that game. We're going to use a stretch the field some. You know, that was one thing. You know, people always talk about, man, you can't be with it. Bro, you don't want to show a team like A&M on the, you got 1 week to play them. You want to keep it everything in the book. Now, after A&M, I'm like, yeah, open it up. Do whatever you're going to do. But this is an important game that could really set the tone for the season. So you want to hide what you can. And then, all right, let's open the book up against A&M. So, I'm going to take my Canes, man. I'm going to go Canes 34, A&M 24. Yeah.
I got Miami 27-17.
All right.
34, I'm going to say... I'm
going to
say
38-13. Woo! Woo! Tear the city up. Tear the city up.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll call like the white boys. We beat them 38-13. I'm out there rocking Volkswagens.
Henry Williams
going to
have to get a play too. Shit.
Hey, we're going to be talking about we back then.
Just like that for real. I'm not saying Emory Williams gonna play. I think Mario gonna keep starters in just to say, man, look, we ain't gonna get y'all out to him.
Right. Nah, I'm with you.
We keep kicking y'all ass. That's it. We kicked their ass last year. We just couldn't go. We couldn't finish. I think our defense like that this year. Well, we ain't gonna give them opportunity.
I like it, man. I like it. Yeah, man. Put me down for Harold for. Two touchdowns, 140 yards, four receptions, something like that. You know, he's just gonna take advantage of that guy in the slot, and it's just gonna be go route, pew, just go. Damn, he got me again. We're just gonna take the top off, man. I like it. Any shout outs, anything before we get up out of here?
Oh man, shout outs, man. Shouts out to the fans who came to the stadium last Friday, man. They got showed up. We did think that everybody keep acting like nobody's in the stadium. Yeah, they said it was 50,000 there. So it's like, okay, shouts out to the fans who pulled up. So it rained and lightning. Y'all still feel the paint.
Man, yeah, people always discredit that part, too. I forgot about that. I'm like, y'all know it'd be lightning this year. Y'all want us to die?
I left the field because it was lightning. I was like, let me get my ass up out of here.
They want us to die, y'all. They want us to die. If it was us, I'd stay here. I don't give a damn if it was a hurricane for real.
They could have went home. Miami of Ohio, they could have just went on home. You know what I'm saying? Called it a night, but they stuck it out, man.
Yeah, they stood in fourth quarter. They were still in there vibing, man.
Yeah, shout out to them, man.
Shout out to the Spanish dude who brought the little wall out, man, in his car.
Oh, that was crazy.
He shut everybody tailgate down. That nigga stopped playing his music. It was boom. I was like, man, look, this tournament's going to go, man.
Yeah, ain't no shit. He got it. Bad Bunny everywhere. Fucking Bad Bunny. Again. Oh shit, J Balvin and shit, and Bad Bunny and fucking, and like going to the Latino barbershop, going there. And the boy's nice with the blades though. I ain't gonna hold him. Oh boy, nice with the blades. You got any shout out music?
Yeah, man, just shout out to the fans, man. Shout out everybody, keep rocking with us, man. We do for a good season, man. Go check out a little quick post game show. We gonna try to do that too. And there, but check out the post game report. It went, what was that, last week Friday, right?
Yeah, it's out. Yeah, it's a quick reaction. We're going to try to get an instant reaction every week. The next morning, if not that evening, just depending on the time of the game and availability of who's around. So that's going to be something, you know, if you guys want to just get a quick reaction, we'll get those out to you. Like next week, yeah, the game will be over around 7. I will probably be just hopping on the road, heading back. I don't think I'm going to stay. I think I'm gonna just go down, watch the game, hang out for a little bit, and then get back up to Melbourne. And but yeah, we'll try to get whoever watching from home, which in this case will probably be Measy. Hopefully we'll have D-Rob back next week. He's been in the middle of transitioning to his home in Virginia. Should be pretty settled in by the next recording, though, hopefully. And then, you know, we'll continue to just give you guys content as much as possible. Continue to rock with us. Give us 5-star reviews. Hit us up, man. We welcome the fans to kick it with us sometimes. You know, we like to keep, you know, it's a for fans, by the fans show. You know, that's the essence of what we do here. You know, obviously we blessed to have X who gets to be on the media side as well. But you know, in his heart of hearts, he's a fan as well too. So you know, pull up, man, help support. The shirts are out there. We got the ones with the 26 degrees straight across. Those do well, man. We're looking at just printing up the ones with the 26 with the, you know, little hurricane degree sign. So, you know, show us some support and love, man. And we're going to continue to do the same for you all. That's about it, man. For me, Maul, D-Rob, Measy, and X, man, we up out of here. We'll holler at y'all next time. One.
Let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.